priest online and across multiple platforms, including on social media. According to the memo, since 8 of August 2022, the FBI and the Department of Homeland Security have identified multiple articulated threats and calls for the targeted killing of judicial, law enforcement and government officials associated with the Palm Beach search, including the federal judge who approved the Palm Beach search warrant. The menacing messages also include a threat to place a so-called dirty bomb in front of FBI headquarters and issuing general calls for civil war and armed rebellion. The FBI declined to confirm the existence of the intelligence bulletin on Sunday, 14th of August, but said the agency was always concerned about violence and threats of violence against law enforcement. On Friday, 12th of August, the names of two FBI agents who signed the warrant authorizing the search of Donald Trump's home were leaked and circulated online before the court officially unsealed redacted records that protected the agents' identities. The warrant was made public after FBI agents raiding Donald Trump's estate uncovered multiple sets of classified documents, including the nation's nuclear secrets. A Trump lawyer had told the Justice Department back in June that there was no more classified information at Mar-a-Lago. The warrant directed agents to seize all physical documents and records constituting evidence, contraband, fruits of crime, or other items illegally possessed, based on possible violations of the Espionage Act. Donald Trump has called for the return of the classified documents seized at his property, while congressional Republicans demand to see an affidavit that justified their seizure. The unsealing of such affidavits is highly unusual and would require approval from a federal judge. Some of Donald Trump's allies have gone as far as comparing the FBI to Gestapo, while others have accused the agency of being biased. In a post on Twitter, Anti-Defamation League Chief Executive Officer Jonathan Greenblatt condemned right-wing politicians and commentators for demonizing law enforcement. According to the warrant, Donald Trump is being investigated for potential violations of the Espionage Act, obstruction of justice, and unlawful removal or destruction of government records. Attorney General Merrick Garland approved a search of Donald Trump's estate at Mar-a-Lago recently, amid warnings by federal investigators that the missing documents presented an extraordinary threat to national security.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
I'm a teacher.
I'm a researcher.
I'm a mother.
I'm a lawyer.
And I believe in acting kindly toward you, because you are...
A Muslim lady.
You are very special. There's no one just like you. You are very special. And I'm so glad you're mine.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. This is Muslim Lady. I'm your host, Zainab Askari. Well, we have heard about the events of Karbala and women who had played important role in it. But there's a question that whether women before the moment of Karbala, were there women during the Karbala? We know that. But were there women post-Karbala and what was their role? We got to talk about all that in our studio with Siddiqa. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. And thank you for having me today. It's an absolute pleasure to be here.
It's always a pleasure to be with you, Siddiqa. Thank you so much for accepting the invitation. A very warm welcome.
Thank you.
To listeners, in our previous episode, we discussed about the role of women prior to the event of Karbala. But in this session, we're going to discuss about the women, their roles in the Karbala itself. Would want to ask you about the role of women in the Karbala itself.
So when Imam Hussein alayhi salam was traveling from Medina towards Karbala, he took his women and children with him. And there was a very important purpose for this, which we've discussed in one of the previous episodes.
Yeah.
But now he's in Karbala itself. And there are a group of women who might not have physically participated in the battle, but they had an important role in how they brought up the children, who then supported the movement of Imam Hussein alayhi salam.
All right.
Now, some of those women were just there in Karbala on the battle in the tents. We have a group of women who, the way they did the tarbiyah, this upbringing of the children, that these children then rose up to fight the movement of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. And we will see how these children were not adults. They were young children, but their hearts were filled with the love of the Ahlul Bayt. And love of the Ahlul Bayt does not just enter anyone's heart. This is a gift from Allah, but it is also the purity of the mother.
Yeah.
So one of those women I want to indicate to is the wife of Junad ibn Ka'ab. Her husband died in the battle with Imam Hussein.
Okay.
But she had a son who was around 9 or 11 years old. The son, 9 or 11 years old, goes to Imam Hussein. He says, let me go to the battle.
11 year old.
9 or 11.
All right.
History does not tell us what his exact age was.
So young.
Very young. He hasn't even reached that state of maturity as yet.
All right.
Imam Hussein tells him, look, your father's gone. Your mother might want you.
All right.
He says, my mother has prepared me for this battle. She made me wear this armor. She told me to go fight for you.
All right.
That's why I've come to you. And this is when this young child goes to the battle and gets killed. This mother has lost her husband. She has a son from this husband. But for her, the movement of Imam Hussein supporting the son of the Prophet, supporting the man who's standing up against every sort of falsehood is more important to her than her family.
All right.
And this is her
role. Especially a son who's so young.
Very young.
Yeah.
That's one
woman. So that's quite interesting. I'd like to discuss more with you after a short break. Dear listeners, stay tuned to IRIB English Radio.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Muslim Lady.
Welcome back. This is Muslim Lady. We're talking about the role of women in Karbala. So, Siddiqa, you were telling us about this woman who lost her husband and also her son, was quite young. According to some narrations, he was only 9 or maximum 11. And when he gets into the field of Karbala, Imam Hussein alayhi salam even tells him, go back, your mother might be in need of you. And still, he says that my mother has prepared me for this. I mean, this courage of women Where does this come from? I mean, this is something that takes away.
This is all comes down to the way we bring up our children. These women had the love of the Ahlul Bayt in their hearts. They grew up with this wilaya in their heart. And they understood that their responsibility as women, doesn't matter what race, gender, age you are, when it comes to wilaya, your responsibility is to protect the wali of Allah, to protect the imam, whatever your race, gender, age. And we see age, even 6-month-old child has fought in this battle.
Yeah.
But my focus over here would be his mother.
All right.
His mother was Rabab, right? We know that in Karbala there was a 6-month-old baby who was murdered, right?
Yeah.
Very brutally as well. But I want to focus on his mother. Imam Hussein is returning back to the tent with his own baby. His wife is Rabab.
Yeah.
Now the child has been killed. He has to take the child back to the tent.
All right.
From what narration tells us, Rabab goes back to the end of the tent. And there's a reason why. Now, you know, when your child dies, you want to go and take the child, you know, comfort them, you know, cry, weep.
Yeah.
She goes right to the back of the tent. The scholars have said she went to the back of the tent so that Imam Hussein does not feel embarrassed even for a second that her child was killed in his movement.
Oh my God.
So this is not courage over here. This is cognizance. This is recognizing that if I have a responsibility to the wali of the imam, you know, usually when we do someone a favor, we want to go and throw it in the face.
Yes.
These women are showing us, no, we're not going to come and throw it in your face. We have a responsibility towards the imam of the time.
Yeah.
And if we fulfill our responsibility, it is a responsibility. We're not doing you any favor. Even though giving a child to a movement is one of the most heart-rendering things a woman can do.
A mother can do.
A mother can
do. That's at the same time heartbreaking, but at the same time teaching a thousands of lessons with their just one reaction, with their just whatever they did. We're talking about the role of women in Karbala. Talked about Rabab, who lost her 6-month-old Ali Asghar alayhi salam in the Battle of Karbala, and how it feels like to lose a 6-month-old. Only a mother can understand. Only a mother who has lost her son. I mean, there are mothers who lose their children. Like, it's not just nobody loses their children as young as 6-month-old, but so brutally being killed in a battle, we don't see it other than Karbala. Well, apart from Rabab and the ladies you mentioned before, who else played their role in Karbala?
So there are many of them. Like I mentioned, that Imam Hussein left from Mecca, from Medina with his women and children. Now you have some women who are part of his family, the Bani Hashim. And I'm going to leave their role, especially Hazrat Zainab, for later.
All
because
right.
her role is very extensive, extremely True. Extensive. There are books written about her.
True.
Right? I'm going to choose someone else whose husband was a companion of Imam Hussein alayhi salam.
Mm-hmm.
And I've chosen her specifically because she shows us that women, when it comes, we are also answerable to how we treat, how we react, and if we do not fulfill our responsibilities, how we should be ready for the consequences.
True.
So she was the wife of Ali ibn Mudahir.
Okay.
He was a companion of Imam Hussein alayhi salam who went to Karbala, who died in the battle.
Okay.
But the night before the battle, Imam Hussein gathers all his companions and tells them, I have removed my allegiance from you. Tomorrow, these people, Yazid's army, after me. They're after my blood.
Yeah.
You don't have to fight. Right? You can leave.
Yeah.
They all go, you know, they raise their swords. They're like, we are here to fight for you. Even if we are cut up 70 times, brought back to life, and we are killed in the most brutal manner, and brought back to life again, we will still support your cause. Because we believe in it. We know that you are on the right.
True.
So Imam Hussein tells them, look, the women are going to be captivated after this. You can send your women away.
Yeah.
Ali ibn Muzahir goes back to his tent, to his wife.
Okay.
And tells her, look, I'm going to fight for Imam Hussein tomorrow.
Yeah.
But you can go back. I'll send you to the Bani Asad. Bani Asad was a tribe that lived near Karbala.
All right.
And this wife had cousins over there.
Okay.
So he tells her, look, you go back. I'll send you there and they will send you back home.
Yeah, you'll be safe.
Yeah. She looks at him and she says something very interesting. She tells him, on the day of judgment, you want to go in front of the Prophet with a bright face, but you want me to face Hazrat Fatima embarrassed that I didn't support her daughters? Is that what you want me to do? She says, no, I will stay here and I will support the daughters of Hazrat Fatima through whatever difficulties they go through and I will share their difficulties. And she says, and apparently it does seemingly seem that she went through all that captivity that they had.
Yeah.
And she became that source of comfort, help to this family.
All right. So not only she is supporting her husband in the event, she's also, when she's given a kind of safety, like she's given a kind of, you will be safe. She's given a guarantee of her safety. She again accepts to being captivated in supporting Imam Hussein alayhi salam's family. All these lessons, all these roles played by women teach us a lot. And especially I wonder over the basirat they had, not just in Niv, the Imam of their time, they
recognized their role.
Recognize
the political situation of the time. They recognize the responsibility they have towards the Imam.
Yeah.
And the responsibility they have to the Prophet and the responsibility they have to Allah.
Exactly. Recognizing all those roles is not that easy. And then just recognizing them and just then working on them, it's again a tougher job. Inshallah, we'll discuss more about these events, more about the roles of women in our next session. For now, thank you so much for being with us. Thank you so much, dear listeners. You are listening to IRIB English Radio. Until another session, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Who is the lover?
Allah.
Who is Ar-Rahman?
Allah.
Who is Al-Mannan?
La ilaha illallah. Muhammadur Rasulullah. Muhammad is the messenger. To Allah is our return.
The Quran, given by God to Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his family, more than 1400 years ago, as guidance for humanity. Quran speaks about women.
The Quran teaches the equality of men and women in the eyes of Allah.
Chapter 33, verse 35.
All praise is due to the one and only. He is the master of all creation.
Modesty and chastity are encouraged by the Quran, both for women and for men.
Chapter 24, verses 30 and 31.
He is the sustainer and the maintainer of the whole universe.
God created us from one male and one female and made us into nations and tribes, so that we make to know one another, not to despise each other.
Chapter 49, verse 13.
La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, Muhammad is the messenger, to Allah is our return.
The Quran has indicated worthy women in history just as it has mentioned such men, and has commended them greatly.
Chapter 3, verse 37.
أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر
Food for thought.
Hello, dear listeners, and how about pondering on a wise saying from the immortal martyr of Karbala, Imam Hussein, peace be upon him, on freedom of conscience in the actual sense? The Holy Prophet's grandson told those who had ganged up against him, in the hope of getting the paltry positions of the transient world, "If you don't have religion, at least be free men in your worldly affairs."
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Cultural news, social news, scientific news, artistic news. With delight.
Lightning strikes are very powerful and misunderstood force of nature that we all often see being used in films. A spectacular lightning strike has illuminated the sky over the Scottish town of Dundee. A video from an eyewitness that captured the hypnotic scene has been shared on several social media platforms. The lightning in the clip can be seen sending several bolts in opposite directions. Below a church spire is silhouetted against the lightning flashes. But lightning is not always spectacular, as sometimes it causes fire to tower and high rises. Last month, a wind turbine caught fire after being struck by a lightning bolt in North Texas, United States. Forestry authorities in southwestern China have opened a new canteen for wild Asian elephants in a bid to stop them wandering into villages. The canteen in Yunnan province provides the animals with attractive and nutritious meals while exploring man-animal harmonious coexistence. During these years, the province has explored multiple ways to reduce the encounters between humans and elephants and try to keep the animals away from farmers' crops. There are now approximately 1,400 hectares of dining halls for elephants, with many expanding from 100 to 240, such as corn, rice, and sugarcane. They are planted on a large scale and within easy reach of the elephants. The location of such canteens is extremely selective, usually away from villages and major roads, and the chefs are locals.
Stunning scenes in Spain as the last supermoon of the year illuminates the night sky amid fireworks and fairs marking the start of festivities for a public holiday. In Malaga, fireworks left the sky a mix of colors against the bright moon. There was also a spectacle of drones that lightened the sturgeon moon. Locals in the Canary Islands also celebrated the three-day holiday by lighting up a Ferris wheel as the full moon beamed beautifully in the sky. If the moon is within 10% of its closest distance to Earth at the moment of full moon, it is called a supermoon. The supermoon has various hues and appears bigger and brighter than when the moon is at its farthest point from Earth. Have you ever heard of fighting nature with nature? Well, that's what the San Francisco metro system in the U.S. did to stop pigeons from overrunning the place. The station has hired a hawk as the new guard to patrol the area. Pac-Man is a 5-year-old Harris's hawk who has taken up the perch at the station. In terms of experience, he is pretty new, as he finished training only 9 months ago. The station recently renovated its building, installing netting and spikes to prevent pigeons from nesting. But these birds still seem to find their way to hang around. So with the Falconer Force, Ricky Ortiz and his hawk were hired this summer to keep the pigeons at bay.
So a typical day is we get here, we make our round, we start off down in the bottom inside the facility, making sure there's no pigeons hanging out in there. And then we work our way up here to the platforms and just check the ledges and the roof and make sure that they're not trying to sneak in on us and keep them out. And he does a pretty good job of that.
The team patrols 3 days a week and Pac-Man is allowed to swoop in and scare any pigeons sitting around. The Falconer says less than half of the pigeons left after the first week of Pac-Man flying and establishing the territory. Commuters and station managers say they also noticed the difference. The Falconer says he usually keeps his feathery friend happy on the job by giving him snacks throughout the day. This also encourages the hawk not to feast on the pigeons and local rodents.
Technology helps transform the global food production system and mitigates its impact on the environment. China's autonomous region of Tibet is turning barren land into fertile one using greenhouse technology. Once removed, Beinon County is now the largest off-season vegetable supplier in Tibet. The region has taken advantage of its highland conditions to develop a state-of-the-art agricultural structure. Beinon has now more than 2,200 modern vegetable greenhouses and nearly 12,000 hectares of planting area, some built at unimaginable altitude. But one cannot deny the role of railways and highway transport for making this county a hub for organic vegetables. The income of locals has also been significantly improved, and they are now living a happy and prosperous life.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields, like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
If you're a private collector of wild animals, there is good news for you. A Pakistani zoo is auctioning off a dozen lions due to a lack of money to feed them and a space to house them. Lahore Safari Zoo currently has so many big cats that they have to take turns accessing paddocks. Officials say auctioning them will free up space and also reduce expenses. Zoo is currently housing 29 lions. The lions auctioned this week will be between 2 to 5 years of age. Each big cat is estimated to fetch around 150,000 Pakistan rupees. That's not too much, as some zookeepers claim. Even conservationists have expressed anger over auctioning lions to private collectors instead of transferring them to other zoos. Happy news for zoo goers in Nicaragua. Two adorable baby tapirs are born at a country's national zoo south of Managua, adding attractions to the visitors. Two endangered tapirs, a male and a female, were born hours apart at the weekend. In a video shared by the zoo, one of the newborns is seen suckling and walking near her mother. The director of the zoo says the babies are yet to be named but are in perfect health. Tapirs inhabit jungle and forest regions of South and Central America, with one species inhabiting Southeast Asia. They look something like pigs with trunks, but they are actually related to horses and rhinos. Nicaragua launched a project that seeks to conserve this animal in danger of extinction due to hunting and the destruction of natural habitat. Now we'll take you to mine-riddled French island, Chazoms, which is emerging from the ruins and gradually turning into workers' paradise. Chazoms, close to the port city of Saint-Malo, has an amazing landscape but remains uninhabited as it saw a devastating bombardment by the Allies during the World War II. The Nazi-occupied island was victim of the most bombings per square meter. Known as Martyred and Forbidden Island, it was opened only in 2018 after extensive demining efforts allowed the opening of a marked path. Now, every year, thousands of day trippers make the short boat journey, marveling at the spectacular maritime views and flourishing wildlife there. The safe area still makes up just 3% of the island, but it lets visitors wander between rusty cannons and bunkers. Some workers say they hope the trail will be lengthened to allow a complete tour of the island.
Africa is taking back some of its greatest treasures stolen by the British back in the 19th century. The Horniman Museum in London has agreed to return the artifacts to Nigeria. These are 72 relics, which include 12 highly treasured brass plaques known as the Benin Bronzes. The bronzes are a group of several thousand metal plaques and sculptures that decorated the royal palace of the once mighty kingdom of Benin since the 16th century. These artifacts were looted from a region in modern-day Nigeria in a British military incursion. They later ended up in museums in Europe and the U.S. African countries have been fighting to recover works pillaged by explorers and colonizers as Western institutions grapple with the cultural legacy of colonialism. The Jamtal Glacier in Austria has been losing around 1 meter of its surface annually. Scientists say the ice is a precious archive that is simply melting away and are surveying the area. Austrian mountain researchers say the glaciers contain an invaluable trove of ancient frozen leaves and twigs and other scientific treasures that can be lost forever. They say the time capsules, including the remote Jamtal Valley, are falling victim to climate change. In the 1990s, tourists found that 5,300-year-old mummy of Iceman near the same area. According to the international data, global warming has raised temperatures in Europe's highest mountains by nearly 2 degrees Celsius in the past 120 years. French rescuers are racing against time to save a beluga whale stranded in Seine River near Paris. The beluga was first spotted stuck between two locks in the river from Paris to the English Channel on Tuesday. Specialists say the animal is undernourished and is refusing food. Warm water is also worsening the health of this creature, which is normally seen near Norway, some 3,000 kilometers to the north. Rescuers say they have only up to 48 hours to save the whale. They are now looking at the possibility of taking the beluga out of the water, treating it, and eventually transferring it out to the sea.
There are many big restaurants with Michelin stars awarded based on their quality. But you will be amazed to know that an eatery located in a tiny village in Greenland also has this badge of honor, making it the world's most remote Michelin-starred restaurant. This eatery in the village, which is home to only 53 people, serves you what it gets from its immediate surroundings. Looking out over the chilly North Atlantic, customers taste a variety of local products, ranging from whale skin to an Arctic bird whose entire wing, including feathers, is on the plate. The restaurant is so remote that you can only reach there by boat through floating icebergs. The head chef says he forages for wild berries, flowers, and herbs every day since the menu largely includes local flavors.
Visitors and staff at a French zoo have celebrated the first birthday of twin pandas. The young bears were given a tasty treat of frozen cakes and other treats. As part of the event, 5 lucky visitors were also given the chance to participate in the celebrations behind the scenes with golden tickets. Other festivities included face painting and panda-themed activities. The baby pandas were born last August and now weigh 23 and 28 kilograms. They live with their mother at Zoo Parc de Bouval, where they have been on display since their arrival in 2021.
Children, same is the light of guidance and the ship of salvation.
IRIB English Radio in the month of Muharram presents today's special. Every day for 15 minutes.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Dear brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, salam. Allah's peace be upon all of you. Thank you very much for joining us. So welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. In this episode, we're going to speak about the new concept of death in the school of Imam al-Hussein, peace be upon him. I invite you to join us.
كربلاء لا زلت كربا وبلا ما لقي عندك يا آل المصطفى
كربلاء لا زلت كربا وبلا ما لقي عندك يا آل المصطفى كربلاء كربلاء.
Today, Thursday, is the 20th of Muharram, 1444 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 27th of Mordad, 1401 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 18th of August, 2022 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. This is Holy Quran. This is Chapter Yunus. These are verses 62 to 64.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم ألا إن أولياء الله لا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون.
Unquestionably, for the allies of Allah, there will be no fear concerning them, nor will they grieve.
الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَكَانُوا يَتَّقُونَ.
Those who believed and were fearing Allah.
لَهُمُ الْبُشْرَى فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ لَا تَبْدِيلَ لِكَلِمَاتِ اللَّهِ. ذَلِكَ هُوَ الْفَوْزُ الْعَظِيمُ.
For them are good tidings in the worldly life and in the hereafter. No change is there in the words of Allah. That is what is the great attainment.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
The friends of Allah are those whose position requires no boundaries between them and their Lord, and they are not distant from Him. Their hearts are open and unveiled, and they see Him with all their hearts through the light of knowledge, faith, and good deeds, which leaves them with perfect sincerity. It is because of such an acquaintance with Allah that in their views anything else other than Him is insignificant, of little value, and ephemeral. Imam al-Hussein knew he would be killed? We're looking at this question. Regardless what support Imam al-Hussein was to receive, he knew that an eternal stand against the camp of dehumanization was inevitable. The betrayal of Prophet Muhammad, the injustice suffered by Imam Ali and Lady Fatima, the treachery directed toward Imam al-Hussein, and the murder of innocent life culminated in Imam Hussein's movement. Before departing toward Iraq, Imam Hussein wrote the following in his will: "Indeed, I did not live out of self-conceit or vanity.
neither to cause corruption nor oppression. Rather, I left in order to seek reform in the nation of my grandfather, Prophet Muhammad, and my father, Imam Ali. I wish to promote virtue and prevent vice. So as for those who accept me in accepting the truth, indeed God is of greater right over the truth. As for those who reject, I will be patient until Allah judges between me and the people who reject with truth, and He, Allah, is the best of judges.
Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa binasta'in. In this episode, we are going to be concerned with the concept and phenomenon of death as viewed by Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. Now we find that in the Holy Quran, it's indicated that those people who sacrifice their lives in favor of God, in favor of religion, and they become martyred, they shouldn't be regarded as dead people. Rather, they are still alive, I mean, spiritually alive, and they receive the sustenance before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At the same time, we find that on the account of some authorities, the case of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam on the day of Ashura was really very noteworthy. Based on an account related from the fourth infallible Imam Ali ibn al-Husayn Zain al-Abidin salamullah alayh, on the day of Ashura, I mean, right in the heyday and in the really critical situation of the battles of the day of Ashura in Karbala, I mean, the situation was so dense and, I mean, so critical and so, I mean, dangerous that a great majority of people at the face of such situations would lose controlling themselves. However, Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam wasn't such a person. Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam was really very confident, and whoever looked at him found out that he was really very delighted and very happy. Well, Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam endured the hardships and the heavy burden of the martyrdom of his close and intimate associates and companions. Yet what would be the reasons for his delight on the day of Ashura? The answer is that Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam found out that whatever had been sacrificed on the day of Ashura was all for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted all those sacrifices and doing the utmost in the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam found out that it was the very time of feeling delight and feeling pleasure, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was pleased with all sorts of sacrifices that were achieved on that day.
On the month of Muharram and the martyrdom anniversary of Imam Husayn alayhi salam and his family and companions, be with today's special. Every day from IRIB English Radio.
People rise up and mourn. It is Ashura. See the struggle of Hussein in the Kabbalah.
A life like Ali and a death like Hussein. We'll start this part by this beautiful phrase. The commemoration of Ashura on the 10th of Muharram every year serves to remind us of the sacrifices of the righteous throughout our glorious history. It reconnects us with our spiritual and moral legacy, making us aware of the people, then and now, who bravely stood up for what was right, as well as those who tried to destroy the family of the Prophet and the noble ideals that the family stood for. More than that, it exposes those who watched what was happening, knew what was right, and yet did nothing. How many are there even today who shy away, not only from mentioning the struggle at Karbala, but from the very memory of Hussein? God forbid that we ever become of those who forget.
Assalamu alaykum, ya Abu Abdullah. وعلى الأرواح التي حلت بفنائك عليك مني سلام الله أبدا ما بقيت وبقي الليل والنهار ولا جعله الله آخر العهد من زيارتك السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين الذين بذلوا مهجهم دون الحسين عليه السلام
And the continuation of today's special, Approach of Imam al-Hussein Towards Death. The logic of the Holy Quran and Imam al-Hussein is very different to the medical definition of death. In terms of the medical definition, death is regarded as the absence of life. Like we say, darkness is the absence of light. Depression is the absence of justice. Our Quranic teachings do not refer to death as being absence of life. Death requires creator. Even before life, Allah the Almighty is saying He created death. Therefore, death is the continuation of life and not the end of life. Death takes you from the prison of this temporary life to the eternal life. That is how the Imam, peace be upon him, washed the hearts of his camp from any semblance of dunya, this world. On the night of Ashura, Imam gathered everyone, informing them that the day has come, tomorrow they will all achieve death. They were not sad or stressed. They were happy to be in service of Rasulullah and Lady Fatima, peace be upon them. Sayyid Abbas Razavian.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah. Peace and salutations upon you, Imam Hussein alayhi salam. I send my condolences for the martyrdom of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. We were talking about benefiting from Ziyarat Ashura and reciting it and incorporating it in our personal and spiritual lives. We talked about the final position that when someone acts upon Ziyarat al-Ashura, they reach, and that is al-Maqam al-Mahmud. And it is something that we ask Allah to give us in such a time period and other time periods when we recite this Ziyarat. We talked about one of the most important aspects of this position, and that is a person starts developing the faculty of al-Ma'rafa bin-Nuraniyah, meaning that they start seeing and witnessing things through light. Because the Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam are light, they're nur. Before creation, we have many traditions from all sects in Islam, all madhahib in Islam, that they say that the Prophet and Imam Ali were light thousands of years before Adam was created. This is hadith al-nur, the hadith and the tradition of light And this is not limited only to the followers of the Ahlul Bayt. In other groups of Islam, they believe in this tradition, maybe 50 sources from other schools of thought. So the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam are light, nur.
So we follow this interesting topic, I mean the death in Imam Hussein's view. So I invite you to listen to the next episode of today's special. Until then, fi amanillah. Allahumma ij'al mahyaya mahyaya Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad wa mamati mamata Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.